Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a... This is not the America that I grew up in. I have spoken to several folks, and there seems to be a bifurcated parting of the masses occurring. There are those who are collapsing into the kind of coercion that we've been talking about lately, you know, that I talked about yesterday in particular. And then there are those who are maintaining their autonomy apart from this insanity, who are not capitulating to it and saying, this is not the America that I grew up in or that I grew up believing in. And it's a very strange thing. And, you know, if you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, you know that I was shouting from the rooftops before the 2016 election in particular that everyone should be reading Friedrich Hayek's Road to Serfdom, The Road to Serfdom. There are a few chapters in particular that were very, I think, informative. Definitely chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, in view of the 2016 election. And really, every election, you know, in the lifetime of just about anybody who's still living today. So it's the planning. It's the planning that, you know, when you're trying to plan the lives of other people. And, you know, Richard in Washington and I were having an interesting conversation yesterday at the end of yesterday's broadcast. Maybe that's something that we should continue. But the planning, you know, the security of the group, you know, as Richard was saying, the larger the group, the more it tends towards security. That's one thing. The planning that accompanies those kinds of that kind of an impetus is where the trouble begins, I believe. And that's one of the most salient takeaways from Hayek's Road to Serfdom. It always starts with planning, and he quotes Henry de Saint-Simon in Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, you know, when he opens and talks about how socialism in its roots is frankly authoritarian. Even Henry de Saint-Simon admitted that those who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated as cattle. And as I said, anybody who's been to a, you know, a city council meeting, or especially when you have the, you know, the Agenda 21 you know, sustainability, multi-use, blah, 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 kinds of experts show up, you get the impression that, you know, the old adage, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu, it starts to feel quite literal in a sense. It's just ridiculous. You know, I've seen some really interesting things. North Idaho, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and he said, Chris, I think that North Idaho, the Coeur d'Alene area in particular, is one of the places where, you know, this Agenda 21 stuff is supposed to. And before he could finish his sentence, I said, no doubt. No doubt, 100%, without question, it was one of the places that was tapped years ago. And, you know, people like Patrick Wood were saying that, you know, before he made his exodus. But it's an entirely different place now, and many folks have talked about that. They have their little technocratic city planning group, and I've seen things there, for example, you know, the conversion of the park that was going to happen whether the community wanted it or not. The little planning committee, the technocratic committee, tried to get the community's buy-in through a vote. And the community kept voting no on the park conversion at the hotel, the Coeur d'Alene Resort. And that went on for years. And then finally, they tried to do a revote and then a recount and then another recount. And then finally, magically, the community approved this project that they never approved. And some people were following that and paying attention, and it was a complete hijacking of the voting process. Completely fraudulent. And so the community was extorted, and to the tune of millions of dollars to pay for a park conversion. And a lot of people said after the fact, well, you know, it's not that bad. The park turned out all right. It's, you know, it's a nice place. But that's not the point. The point is the point is not whether the park is a nice place or not. The point is that a small group of technocratic elite in a microcosm sort of sense decided all by themselves that this is what needed to happen. And then through entirely fraudulent means, first it was Machiavellian intrigue and deception that they used to try to get the community's buy-in. And when people didn't sign off on it writ large, they forced the issue through fraudulent means, just openly fraudulent. They should have spent time in prison for what they did, all of them. But no one, there were no charges even brought against anyone or the group. Some people in that area are familiar with the group that I'm talking about. And that's a group that's representative of bigger interests. And I've always wondered, when you hear from those folks, where does the money come from for this group, and, you know, some of the studies and the things that they've done? It's a private group. And they basically have sort of made themselves the technocratic council de facto. And if you're familiar with Parag Khanna's book, Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State, then speaking of the executive overreach that we talked about yesterday, with Parag Khanna's book in view, you can see a dialectical synthesis on the horizon where people would say, you know, like Alan Watt has been telling us for years, oh, this whole government thing is too messy. It's just too messy. And so we need to clean this up and make it tidier. So the reaction to what has been going on, this executive overreach that we've been experiencing, is to, you know, try to balance that out a little bit. Let's just balance that out. But since we're in a state of emergency, you know, you hear all of this reimagining, right? Which is a dangerous thing. This is not the time to be talking about reimagining anything. So yesterday, we played a little bit of Lisa Haven's interview of Arizona State Representative. Oh gosh, what's her name? It'll come to me in a second. So, you know, we played a little bit of that. Kelly Townsend, that's who it was. And Kelly Townsend was saying the same thing. You know, we're basically, you know, everyone's banging on the door, standing on the outside looking in, saying, governors, mayors, let us into this executive process. This is a country founded on three branches of government, co-equal branches. But speaking of the way things work, and people don't know, it's been, you know, administrative procedure for, you know, formalized since 1946, but for a long, long time. You know, Senator Pat McCarran said, as you know, I mention often, and there's a reason, you know. Senator Pat McCarran said on the Senate floor in 1946 when Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act, Senator Pat McCarran, the Senate Judiciary Chair, said, "We have created a fourth branch." He also said that the Administrative Procedure Act, it was Senate Bill 7 at the time, but you know, it became the Administrative Procedure Act. He said, "This bill is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose fair controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government." And so now you skip forward, you know, some 70 or so years, 80 years, and whose life in America is not controlled in one way or another, quote unquote, by agencies of the federal government? It's not the White House, the Supreme Court, or Capitol Hill that show up at your door. It's DHS, it's CPS, it's IRS. Right? Whose lives are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. So it's been that way for a long time. And there's that peculiar phrase that I used to cite often that now suddenly, you know, in context, it seems people maybe will understand, you know, why this is so important. For those who think that this is not real, oh yeah, but we still, that the three duly constituted branches have not been relegated to window dressing and have not become welded together under the administrative fourth branch, as Senator Pat McCarran put it. I would refer first to what Peter Thiel said in that interview with Tyler Cohen back in 2015 that resulted in articles like the Washington Post article where they said democracy in America is dead. Because Peter Thiel said to call America a democracy or a constitutional republic is disingenuous. And he said America is dominated by these very unelected technocratic agencies. I'd offer that first. And then I'd offer that peculiar phrase and ask, does this not resonate? Does this not sound like what has been happening? And the phrase is, when the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to create a remedy, and it may withhold all remedy, or it may administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken in its exercise. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Slightly. The phrase is actually, when the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide, not create, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts. And it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. This is the kind of the golden rule in administrative Alice in Wonderland. And the only rule is that there are no rules, and we reserve the right to change the rules at any time. It's kind of how that works when you think about it. When the state creates rights in individuals against itself, which is weird, the state has some magical, mystical balance sheet or ledger sheet from which it issues rights in individuals against itself. What? But these are not God-given rights. These are the things that man can giveth and man can taketh away. When the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. So if we are using the military to spray you like bugs to conduct experiments, and we, you know, because of the rights or privileges that we've issued from this magical balance sheet, and we, you know, accidentally get people sick because of what we're doing in the name of, you know, fighting for freedom and democracy everywhere, we're experimenting on you like bugs, and we get people sick, well, we might just mass vaccinate everyone, and that would be our administrative remedy, and we might make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. Oops. And that might make things worse, might kill people, but, you know, however mistaken its exercise. And this is a peculiar phrase that in my research dates back to Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering, 91 U.S. 29, back in 1875, you know, the Reconstruction era, that time America, you know, United States of America corporation days. And Justice Brandeis in United States versus Babcock back in 1919 used a variation of that peculiar phrase, and he cited United States versus Babcock, or excuse me, he cited Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering as one of the citations to validate the variation of that peculiar phrase. So that was 100 years ago. And what's most astonishing to me, when you read Justice Brandeis' remarks, is that he prefaced the use of that phrase with the words, "These general rules are well settled." So he said in 1919, "These general rules are well settled." And then he basically said, when the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. That's not exactly, he used a variation, but that was the phrase that he was invoking, essentially. And so here we are in America. I've been saying for years and years and years that in a state of disaster or emergency, when the executive of anything, be it, you know, these United States of America, the president or the local governor or the mayor or whomever, these, you know, it's a sort of a maxim of history that the executive takes upon itself plenary powers, essentially. And as we heard Arizona State Representative Kelly Townsend and Lisa Haven discussing in the clip that we played yesterday, folks like Doug Ducey are, and Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo and so many others, have made it very clear that they are not interested in relinquishing any of the power that they have essentially assumed to themselves. And that's not a surprise. We were warned about this in history. So, with all of that in view, what could be the reimagining synthesis? Well, I'll mention that when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extend your life.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend Over.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
This reimagining that we've been hearing about, Bill Gates is excited. I think we could reimagine things with his evil, freakish, you know, Lovecraftian fingers going in the background there. The reimagining, you know, with the technocratic synthesis in view. You know, Perricana, in his book Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State, I've talked about this before, and, you know, Patrick Wood's book, temperature rising is sort of the antidote to those kinds of things. But to raise awareness. But, you know, Parag Khanna was saying what Alan Watt has been saying, bad guys have been saying. You know, Parag Khanna is kind of one of those Bernaysian interpolators, somebody who interpolates the public to the experts and the experts to the public, or the deciders, basically. And so Parag Khanna's book, Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State, in his book, he talks about how this government thing is so busy and so messy and inefficient. We should really just have, you know, should have like the president and maybe his council of advisors. Just some, you know, folks who are really great at business and maybe a few other things, and, you know, just kind of do that. It'd be so much less messy. It'd be so much cleaner. And all neat and tidy. And the problem is, you know, that really, you know, that you become the United Soviet Socialist Republic at that point. Because you have all of these little Soviets or councils and committees informing and guiding and directing executive decisions, which is kind of where we're at now, but it's not official. It hasn't been formally rolled out. And so that's really frustrating if you're somebody like Bill Gates or his betters, who, you know, really are just tired of leaving decisions to the plebs like you and I. So the re-envisioning that I could imagine hearing or seeing, who knows? I mean, there might already be calls for this. If you've heard them, let me know, because I haven't, but I wouldn't be surprised in all of the reimagining that somebody said, you know, maybe instead of having like a state legislator or a state legislature or whatever, maybe we should, since this is going so well, you know, governor might say, you know, like Ducey, for example, might say, since this has been going so well, maybe I should just have my 10 advisors that I've gathered together kind of permanently installed or formally installed. And maybe my term as governor should be extended, maybe like 10 years. You know, because 4 years really isn't enough to get anything done, as you all know. So maybe we should make it 10 years and I'll have a council of 10 wise men, 10 advisors, my advisory committee. And maybe we should reimagine government like that. You know, the state legislature hasn't been effective during this time, never mind the fact that they haven't been in session, as Arizona State Representative Kelly Townsend was talking about. They've been begging to be called back into session, which is a very bizarre thing. You know, how is it that a co-equal branch of government is begging the executive with hat in hand, please call us back to session? So I could see the surreptitious reimagining. I mean, with all of the weird headlines, for example, that CNN is running these days, you know, the situation with the McCloskey family, for example, brandishing. They were brandishing firearms. No, they were defending themselves and their property. That used to be America. You know, and I'm astonished. Where are the Americans showing up? And again, that situation, if we're to take it at face value, is... that situation at face value is the justification for the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's where the militia is supposed to show up. a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Speaking of security. And so, you know, back to what Richard was saying yesterday, and this is the thing, you know, it's my understanding if there was a genuine argument for what we were trying to do, whether we argue Constitution or Confederation, Articles of Confederation, the Federalist model was, you know, as maybe call it the Jeffersonian model, was always supposed to be small, you know, municipal groups, basically, or groupings of, you know, maybe 2,500 to 5,000 people or so. And that was kind of the seat of government. And, you know, the big argument against the Constitution and for the Articles was that it, the Articles maintained a tiny federal government, where the Constitution sort of flipped that or opened the door to flipping that. But the original concept, as I understand it, was to have the seat of government, so to speak, be at your local level, because guys like John Adams said there's something particularly odious about a government 1,000 leagues off. Reagan reiterated that, you know, this is the issue, whether we believe in the American Revolution or, you know, whether we confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. That was the issue. And the further and further away you get from a neck to grab, so to speak, we can see it in business and certainly in government. The less accountability, the less humanity, so to speak, the less concerned people are, the more people just want to plan and regulate it to their own wishes and desires or those who influence them. You know, what happens, for example, when companies like Microsoft, HP, Facebook, Google, Amazon, etc., get so big that they can't maintain customer service in-house and they offshore that, for example. There are lots of jokes that we've, I think many people have, you know, back when you could still do that, now today, you know, you're a racist, bigoted, homophobic, misogynistic. If you joke about reality, then you're clearly a racist now. But, you know, we used to be able to laugh at ourselves and one another occasionally, and it was, you know, in good humor. But what happens when companies get so big that they can't manage their customer service in-house and they offshore it? They seem to be unconcerned with the development of their products beyond their Bernaysian deep dive focus groups. How can we manipulate the public to believe that they want this product instead of just making something that's useful for people? That's what's been happening over the last 20 or 30 years. And not just in high-tech stuff. But, you know, high-tech has taken over the world. A lot of people have seen how the S&P 500 has shifted, or, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 100, et cetera, et cetera. The largest companies are, you know, many of them didn't exist 30 years ago, like Facebook, for example. And they get a lot of help. Anyway. I could see the reimagining being that, a technocratic council. And this situation that we find ourselves in right now, you know, as Representative Kelly Townsend was saying in that clip that we played yesterday, this is a very bizarre, unreal, otherworldly kind of experience for anyone who has any direction of the kinds of ideals that we espoused when the World War II generation was in their, well, throughout their lives, I would say, but no, definitely in their senior years. In my experience, one of the big reasons this didn't happen sooner is because those people were still rooted and grounded in sound judgment, good judgment, common sense. You know, how many times have we heard lately? I think Kelly Townsend said it, and during that interview, I don't know if it was during the clip, and then in the other interview that we were going to play, I remember hearing that phrase used. Carol Swain, Professor Carol Swain, in Will Witt's interview of her. We should play some of that, and I think we will. We'll play some of that in the other one that I mentioned yesterday, his interview of Dr. Jeffrey Barkey, which are great interviews, and those everyone should listen to. But common sense, you know, everybody keeps saying, like I've mentioned, you know, Mom used to say common sense isn't too common these days. And common sense is almost an urban legend, almost a myth at this point. You know, when we've been encouraged to believe that people backing off the Grand Canyon, taking selfies is just something that we do, and we all need to have helmets and bubble wrap. If you're dumb enough to do something like that, then guess what? You deserve what you get. That's the way some of us were raised. If you're dumb enough, then you know what? Life will teach you some lessons, whether or not you have helmet and bubble wrap or not. But we have been conditioned into this place where in communitarian fashion, you know, you get the little propaganda like that. You know, somebody might back off into the Grand Canyon. Therefore, we should just cement it over. We should cement the Grand Canyon over. There shouldn't be a bump or rock or anything where anyone can stub their toe because they might get hurt. Communitarianism is the security argument in the extreme. And, you know, the point of talking about the federalist kind of model and the system of small little groups is to say that it was never in America intended, at least overtly, maybe covertly, but the overt objective was never to have America be welded together as one big communist cauldron. And you just can't do that realistically, unless how are you going to make all of these people the same? People have different cultures and traditions and values and ideals and that. And so, you know, you can read different things. You can read the books that Aaron Dykes was talking about, you know, whether it's Trotter or Laban or any of these sociologist types, the Gregory Batesons of the world, the Norbert Wieners of the world, who want to find ways to shave the corners off of everyone to make us all these little blocks that fit together in the same sort of fashion. You know, you cybernetically engineer a bunch of bots so that you can stack and pack them any way you like. That's the only way you can weld together a big homogenous group. Brené's talked about it. All these guys talk about that. And America was, at least when I grew up, as I understand it, America was a place where we were safeguarding against those kinds of interests. We learned the lessons of communism and socialism and fascism back in the mid-20th century in particular. And I thought we all just kind of knew that stuff. You know, my grandparents fought that fight. And, you know, the dubious historical accounts notwithstanding, the fact that Pearl Harbor was clearly a false flag has proven. Robert Stinnett did the most recent comprehensive installment of that proof. He offered it, you know, Day of Deceit. That notwithstanding, you know, we fought the fight. We learned the lessons. We should have learned them all the more. That's what this broadcast is supposed to be about. Jefferson enlightened the people generally so that people go off and learn that communism, fascism, socialism, bad. And by the way, Pearl Harbor, false flag, World War II, false flag. Who's doing this? And maybe we should be cautious as we proceed ahead so that we don't fall victim to this kind of stuff again. And yet, here we are. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about, the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. fish in the sea. You know how I feel. River running free. You know how I feel. Blossom on a tree. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. The two videos I mentioned yesterday that we didn't get to, both PragerU installments, PragerU channel, both Will Witt interviews. One, the interview of Professor Carol Swain, which I think is brilliant. That video is titled Black Lives Matter is a Marxist Movement. That used to be a bad thing in America. Dennis Prager did that video a while back, Why Millennials Support Communism. It is a weird thing. How did we let this happen, America? I mean, the level of ideological subversion, if you're not familiar, folks, again, go listen to what Yuri Bezmenov said. Fifty years ago, really. It was the early 70s, wasn't it, that he ended up defecting. And really, from the first moment that he hit the shores over here, he was saying, hey, guys, this is what's going on. So for 40 or 50 years, and at that time, he said, you know, in that interview with Griffin, for example, he said, it's been happening for about 35 years at least already. And that was the mid-1980s. So do the math. And, you know, this calls to mind lots of other stuff. The Gladio contingent, the leave behinds or the stay behinds and so on, which, you know, if you remember when Cheryl Atkinson was doing her, gun walking expose at CBS, and then suddenly, hey, thank you for your service. Catch you later. The gun walking and grenade walking and, you know, all of that arms trafficking walking, Iran-Contra, really all of it harkens back to the Gladio contingent. You know, the stay behinds or the leave behinds have to have caches of weapons to invoke the strategy of tension from time to time, don't they? So, you know, what else are we supposed to do? Anyway, more coming up. So, second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.